Amen. Well, praise God. I wanted to start by recognizing that we have had quite the fire burning, the fire of God burning in this pulpit the last two Sundays. So, I hate to have to put water on that fire. See, most everybody got that. But we want to talk this morning about baptism. Amen. Let's read our text this morning. It's from Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. And it says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we just come before you, God. Lord, and we recognize, Lord, that it is your glory, God, Lord, that we are pursuing. And Lord, you said in your word, Lord, that our life is merely a vapor. And Lord, we are here appointed, Lord, for a little while. And God, before it, we will see you face to face one day. Lord, and I pray, Lord, that when we see you, God, Lord, I pray, God, Lord, that we would be ready to see you, God. Lord, I just pray for us this morning, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would give us understanding, God, Lord. You said, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and in the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we need understanding of that. Lord, we want understanding of that, God. Lord, we want to know about baptism, Lord, and I pray that you would give us teaching and give us understanding. Lord, give us revelation, Lord, and insight, Lord, about baptism. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to talk about baptism. And the first thing that I really want to say, and I really want us to focus our attention on, is the fact that baptism is a really big thing. I want to ask us a question just in this audience. How many of us grew up watching people get baptized? Look at that. That's a lot of us. Yeah, a baptism. She said, I saw it in the Catholic Church. It was baptism. Well, I am assured that baptism had its intended effect on your life. But what can happen is as we see it over and over, it begins to be something that people just do. And so I want us to just start off right in that note that baptism isn't just something we do. Baptism means something. Amen? And so what we are participating in this morning isn't just something people do. It's not a ritual. It's something beautiful, and it's something meaningful, and it's something powerful. It is powerful. And we are able this morning to witness something very awesome, very unique. And it's huge. It's not just a game. It's not something funny or silly. You know, we're not going to get over here and be jumping in the water and making jokes and being silly. It's a sacred thing. It's a sacred thing. And it's a serious thing, but it is a joyful thing. We're talking about a sober thing, not a depressed thing. I like how Joe says it oftentimes. You don't go and, do you want to hear about Jesus? Yeah. All depressed. So it's a sober thing because it's a serious thing, but it's not a depressed serious, like, oh no, you know. It's actually happy. Praise God. We're being baptized. It's a happy thing. You know, people oftentimes, me and my family really the only ones that have watched this video, but the video when I got married, and people asked why I didn't smile very much. I'm like, because it's serious. I thought it was serious. They're like, but aren't you happy? Well, look at the reception. I was really happy. But I wasn't serious because I wasn't happy. I was serious because we were doing something that was serious. You know? Amen. And so that's kind of the connection that we have. It's a serious thing. It's an awesome thing. It's a great thing. It's an ordinance of God. We say ordinance. What do you mean by ordinance? Kind of a crazy word. Ordinance means it was ordained. Means it was something that was put forth by Jesus as a practice of the church. So I had a slide. I told Daniel I was going to tell him when to move slides, but I didn't do a good job of that. You can move the next slide. So baptism, it's a big thing. It's huge. I want us to have huge thoughts about it. I want us to think of it in those terms. Like this is a big deal. This is a really big deal that's happening. And so it's a good thing to say, well, what is baptism? What is it? What is baptism? Where did it come from? What's it all about? What is this baptism thing about? You know, we grew up watching people get baptized, but what's going on? Well, the roots of our baptisms, you can go to the next slide, come directly from Jesus, and it dates all the way back to Old Testament times. And in Old Testament times, we find that people did ceremonial washings. And these are the ones that are prescribed in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, and the ones that they say you got to wash after you do this. You have to wash after you do that. And if you don't do this, you won't be clean, and so on and so forth. And so they would dip themselves in the mikveh. It's called the mikveh. And slowly, as time went on, the mikveh left its biblical roots and it changed into something else, and they added on to it. And the Jewish people would then use it as a way of confirming converts to Judaism. So when people would convert to Judaism, they had to get baptized in the mikveh. So they had to dip all the way down, come back out. So by the time that John the Baptist comes along and says, you need to repent and be baptized, the form wasn't foreign to them. They understood baptism. The message was changing. The message was changing. It was saying, baptize in repentance and turning from sin. And so what we see is that this is something that is birthed of God, and he's shaped its meaning and he's shaped its purpose. You can go to the next slide. And so then we get our commandment from Jesus Christ himself in Matthew chapter 28. And he says, go and make disciples and baptize them. And if you look at the sentence structure of what Jesus was saying, Jesus, the main thing that Jesus said in that scripture, it says a lot of stuff right there. He says, lo, I am with you always. He says, you need to teach them. He says, you need to baptize them. If you look at all of that, what Jesus is saying right there, the main thing he was saying was make disciples. You hear a lot of scholarly people explain it a lot better than me. But ultimately, the main thing he was saying was make disciples, and those other things become a part of the main thing. So he says, so you could literally, he says, go into all the world and make disciples. You could literally read that as saying, while you are going, make disciples and baptize them and teach them. So Jesus shows us in this prescribed thing that he delivers to us, one of the parts of discipleship is baptism. So if you want to think, well, what do I do in discipleship? Well, one of the things that you're going to do in discipleship is get them baptized. That's exactly what Jesus said. It's a part of discipleship, and it's a part of following him. He says, baptize them. It was ordained by Christ. You can go to the next slide. He says, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And then, if you look in verse 20, you get the time frame for how long we should do what he told us to do. He says, go into all the world. He says, make disciples. Baptize those disciples. Teach those disciples. And then how long did he say we should do it? Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You can go to the next slide. So as we're making disciples, we understand that we, in our discipleship process, in our teaching process, in our baptisms, that they are to go on till the end of the age, until Jesus comes back. This is awesome news for us. This means that we have a great purpose in this life. We have a great calling in this life, each and every one of us in here. It's awesome. We're to be part of disciple making. Hallelujah. That's good news. We are to be part of this process called discipleship. We don't have to wonder. I mean, there are things about God's will for my life personally that we are to pray for and we're to seek Him for, and He's to give us the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit in our life personally. Yet at the same time, God's will is not a mystery. It's not a mystery. We are to all be a part of the discipleship of people that are turning to Christ. We had a really good discussion about this in my missions class. And we talked about the armed forces. And we talked about Marines that are on the front lines. And the man that we were reading, what he was talking about said this. He said, for every, and I don't know all the terminology, but for every unit of men that are on the battlefield, the front lines, he says there's like 10 or 11 units behind them in support of them. That's a successful mission. A successful mission has a frontline soldier and has backup and has support. I'm here to tell you, not everybody in here is called to be a pastor, but everybody's called to be a part of disciple making in some way, shape, or form. Maybe the list goes on and on of what our part is. We're here to know God, and we're also here to make Him known. And so Jesus tells us that part of making Him known is making disciples and baptizing them. So the word that, you can go to the next slide. The word that Jesus uses is baptizo. And it literally means to dip or immerse. It means to go all the way down. Loop. I tried to get a good picture of it. I mean, that guy, my wife jokes because she said when she was baptized, they said the top of her head was still wet. And so people still joke with her and say she needs to redo it. Oh, not still dry. I'm sorry, not wet. Wasn't wet. Was not wet. So anyway, we think she made it. She made it all right. Yeah. So it says, he's saying go all the way. And then when you look at all the biblical examples, they're in water. I mean, it's not even, you can't even argue and say, well, you know, maybe they were sprinkling. And I'm not, and by the way, whenever I'm talking about this, I realize we've come from a lot of different backgrounds, and I'm not here to insult something that may have happened to you, your parents did in full faith. I'm not here to do that. That's not what I'm talking about. What I am here to do, though, is talk about what the Bible says. And it talks about us going all the way under the water. Doesn't talk about sprinkling. And even the people that teach sprinkling, they won't argue with you that the Bible and all the examples that we have in the Bible are total immersion. You go all the way under the water. But if when we look at the symbolism here, at what baptism, the aspects of baptism, sprinkling doesn't even meet the symbolism. It doesn't even make sense. So we don't sprinkle. It's like, you know, the eunuch said, look, there's water over here. There's another scripture where it says John the Baptist was baptizing because there was a lot of water. You know, if you were just sprinkling, you don't need that much water. You could have a little cup of water or something. So what Jesus was saying to do was to dip people completely in water. So Jesus gave this command to baptize, and it has meaning. It has meaning. So if Jesus commanded people to baptize, did we see it happen in the Word? That's the next question. Did people actually do it? I want us, you can go to the next slide. I want us to look at just a few of these instances we have. And remember, in between some of these chapters are years. Years between chapters. That's sometimes we read Acts and we think it just day by day or something. It's not how it happened. There's years that go on in between some of these stories. So Acts 2, Peter preaches at Pentecost. 3,000 men are saved. And then what? Then they're baptized. Acts chapter 8. Philip the evangelist travels to Samaria. People are saved and baptized. Acts chapter 8 again. The Ethiopian eunuch is evangelized by Philip. He's reading Isaiah. And after Philip shares Christ with him, he says, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And he's baptized. Acts chapter 9, the Lord visits Ananias in a vision and tells him to find Paul, who was then Saul. Ananias prays for Paul, and then he's baptized. Acts chapter 10, Peter preaches to the gospel to Cornelius. They all receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit first. They do. They receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit first, speaking in tongues. And he says, "Can anyone forbid water?" And they're all baptized in water. Acts chapter 16, Paul receives the vision to go to Macedonia. He's in Philippi, and they meet Lydia. She's a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. Lydia and her whole household are baptized. Acts chapter 16, we have the midnight prayer service. Amen. Of Paul and Silas. They're miraculously delivered from prison. And instead of a suicide, the Philippian jailer gets saved. Amen. And it says immediately him and his family are baptized. Acts 18, Paul, Silas, and Timothy are ministering in Corinth in the house of justice. Crispus believes the gospel, him and his whole household. Then it says, many Corinthians, it doesn't even give us a number, they hear and are baptized. Acts 19, Paul in Ephesus, he finds disciples who've never even heard of Jesus' baptism or the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It says they were all baptized. Amen. So Jesus commanded it. We know it has meaning. We've seen it done consistently in the Word. But what is baptism? What does it all mean? Well, the act of baptism is imagery and it's symbolism. I want us to read our text one more time. In Romans 6. And it says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. See, baptism is a picture, but baptism is unusual. But baptism is an incredible picture, and it's incredible, accurate representation of the gospel. The gospel. It is when we fulfill it, and when believers, those who call on the name of the Lord, submit to water baptism, we are a living representation for God. That is big. So I want us as a body to see these symbols. I want us to look at the symbols. And I want us to celebrate them. And I want us to have a renewed appreciation for them this morning as we just give God glory. And I want us to see them and understand again what we are about to witness. So you can go to the next slide. The first aspect of baptism I want us to look at is the private aspect. See, men in the Word, before they were baptized, had a private experience. They had an experience with God. Go to the next slide. See, the baptism that God prescribes both points to and is birthed out of salvation. True salvation. In fact, one of those instances we just read over, they said, in that text, he said, I asked them and made sure they really believed, and then they baptized them. It says it right in one of those texts. I can't lock down. You can look over them. One of them, he says, I made sure they believed, and then he baptized them. Is it 8? It's Acts 8. With the Ethiopian eunuch. So we understand that baptism is for those who are born again. It's an act of faith. It's an act of faith, and it comes from faith. You can't separate the two. It's an experience that's birthed out of Christ. See, the whole act of going into the water is meaningless without salvation. If we are going into that water without Christ, we're just going into some water. We're just getting wet. We might as well go swimming. I mean, I'm serious. In that verse 3, it says, do you not know that we were baptized in Christ Jesus? We're baptized into his death. Let's go to the next slide. When we are lowered into the water, it says that we're buried with Christ. This is a picture of Jesus' death. This is a picture of Jesus' burial into the ground. And when you do that and you are born again, you're saying, I'm dying with you, Jesus. You are saying, I am uniting myself with Christ. I am dying. The old man is dead. And so I want to take this opportunity to say that even in this picture, we have a picture of dying. In salvation, there's a real death that occurs there to an old man. That's the whole context of Romans chapter 6. It says, we're dead to sin. We're dead. You are dead. It's not very encouraging, but it's true. And sometimes we're looking for God this morning. That's why I like the altar. Hallelujah. Let's talk about the altar. The altar is a place of sacrifice. The altar is a place of getting straight with God. And sometimes you think, man, the old man's not dead. I say, come up here and hold on. Hold on. And let God do the sacrifice. Let him kill that old man. But if you are waiting for some supernatural thing to come in and just change your life for you, it's not going to happen. You're going to have to get with the Lord. You're going to have to bow down. You're going to have to get humble. And you're going to have to get real and say, God, I need your salvation. I want to turn from this old stuff. This is the old man. I want to be a new man in Christ Jesus, new man and woman in Christ Jesus. And so when we're going into the water, we are uniting with his death. And so the second part I want to talk about is the public aspect. The public aspect. See, the pattern that we see in the Word is baptism is done for all to see. God's intention in baptism is to be a statement to the world around you. This is a public identification with Him. And so when we're going into the water, you can go to the guy coming out. When you're going into the water, you're identifying with His death. And when you're coming out of the water, you're identifying with His resurrection. And so it says here, it says in Romans, it says that when we were baptized, we're baptized into death. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism, just as Christ was raised from the dead. Even so, we should walk in newness of life. We're raised up. Now, this is all symbolism, but it's talking about what really happens when you really get saved. When you really get saved, God will bring you up to walk in newness of life. And so, this is an aspect of that, this public aspect is so awesome because it's a serious thing. And I think this is one of the aspects that God uses in baptism. Because anybody really can say, I believe. But you go and get dipped in water in front of everybody, you're making a statement. You're making a statement. There's a separating that's going on there. That you're saying, I believe. And I'm submitting to this baptism. It's saying, Jesus told me to do this. Now I'm going to do it. And you're saying, look who I belong to. I belong to Jesus. And so the last aspect I want us to talk about is it's powerful. It's powerful. See, whenever me and my wife got married, you can go to the next slide. We put on a wedding ring. Now, we didn't say this exactly. I can't remember what Joe said. Did you say, with this ring, I give thee? Yeah, I give thee this ring. It's a token and a pledge. And that's one way. And that's what Joe said at ours. And so it's you're not actually getting married with the ring, right, Joe? What you're getting married when you make the vows. But the wedding ring is a powerful symbol that lets people know that it's real. Amen. And I can testify to this. I haven't always been married. I'm glad I'm married now. But before I was married, and I know guys in here know what I'm talking about. Don't pretend like you don't know what I'm talking about. And you meet a lady, you're kind of looking at that hand, you know? I mean, and I mean, I don't care if it's some plastic ring that came out of a 25-cent Cracker Jack box. I don't care. If it's on that left hand, you're thinking, you know, married, you know, she's married. But it's powerful. It's powerful. And so God uses this symbolism as a drama to tell the world about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And he uses it as a display. Thank you. He uses it as a display to show people how his children pass from death to life. Amen. Amen. So praise God. There's the private aspect is we repent, we turn to God. The public aspect, we do it in front of everyone. And the power behind it belongs, and the glory behind it belongs to God. Amen. Well, let's see some people get baptized. Hallelujah.
We're inviting our children down. Some of the children are going to be baptized because they want to be baptized. I was 7 years old, and it was very special. Like Brother David has shared this morning, all of those things. It was private, and then it was public. And I'd already been baptized the Holy Spirit as well. You don't have to have that sequence, but that's the way it was with me. And we're going to baptize these people. If you want to line up, those that are going to get baptized this morning, just come on. I believe you should be ready. Come on, Maritza, I'll let you be first. I want our team up here, too, to hold the microphones so we don't get electrocuted, okay? Charlotte, you want to help me? Thank the Lord for a beautiful teaching this morning. And now it's a visual.